Welcome to The Stretch. I'm Dr. John Mark Harrison, lead pastor at First Baptist Concord in Knoxville, Tennessee. In this leadership podcast, I have conversations about growing as a leader and living an inspiring life. When we stretch, we grow. So let's grow. Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us today. I've got Dr. John Bartlett with us today. He is the principal at Farragut High School. And John, I'll tell you this, just knowing you for a couple years now and so thankful for how you lead, not just checking the boxes on the education. You do a great job in that. But man, every time I go in Farragut High School, I feel like this place has got a culture to it. There's obvious intentionality, and it's obviously that whoever is in charge here loves the Lord because you're breathing life into that school, man. So thanks for joining us today.
I appreciate it. No, thank you. And you're no better than the people around you.
Yeah.
So we have to hire the best people out there. But it's the idea of just loving each kid as they are, and walking that road from there. Yeah. And that's kind of what we do. That's a passion, and that's kind of how we approach business, and everything we do stems from that idea that we're just going to love people.
That's awesome, man. That's incredible. Now, you were principal for 10 years at Bearden, and yes, now for 2 years at Farragut. But I know it's your family and your faith that's guided you. So, why don't you tell us about your family and tell us about your walk with the Lord?
Yeah. My wonderful wife. Been married 26 years. Last week.
Awesome.
That's why we were at the beach enjoying life a little bit last week. My daughter is 20 and she's at UT, and my son is 24. He's a retired Marine already. He had a medical issue where he nearly died in the Marine Corps. So they medically retired him, and he is in town, married to his high school sweetheart, awesome, Bailey, and they live here in town. He works for the sheriff's department. So that's immediate family. And walk with the Lord. I accepted Christ as a child. My dad was a Baptist pastor.
Okay.
Grew up in that household. My parents divorced when I was 15 years old, right before I turned 15 years old. Left there in Buffalo, New York, and moved to Winston-Salem, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Where my mom currently lives, and my grandfather's a pastor. So I'm raised from a long history of Baptist preachers. So my grandfather's a pastor. I got two uncles that are pastors, and then my wife's family on that side, her dad's a pastor and her uncle's a pastor. So I'm surrounded in ministry I went into education with this idea. I was actually, my first major was computer engineering.
Okay.
I went in the Marine Corps Reserves, went active duty for almost 2 years, came out and was going to be a computer engineer. This is 1990. So mm-hmm. as a computer engineer, I was going to make the big bucks.
Yeah.
Started tutoring some kids at a local Christian school, tutoring them algebra and chemistry, and just fell in love with education.
Wow.
Talking to my aunt, whose husband was a pastor, and I was like, God hasn't called me into ministry. I know he hasn't called me into full-time ministry. I've seen that.
Yeah.
That's not where God wants me. But she said, education could be as big a ministry as anything. You don't have to be in full-time youth work.
Yeah.
But if you go into education, you are in full-time youth work.
Mm-hmm.
And so decided to pursue education from that point. Had a full-ride scholarship at Greensboro to be a teacher, UNC Greensboro, but was led by the Lord. It's just one of those things where, when you're not where God wants you, he makes it really uncomfortable for you, right? He moves you.
Mm-hmm.
And so went and visited Tennessee Temple University and sat through their education classes, and I'm like, this is where I need to be. So I got my education degree from Tennessee Temple University, got a minor in Bible, major in history,
mm-hmm.
And then went on to teach at Bledsoe County High School for 8 years, where my father-in-law was a pastor there in that town. And then got my master's EDS from Tennessee Tech, and then I got my doctor's from Liberty.
Okay.
Went to Loudoun, was principal at Loudoun for 4 years, and then Bearden for 8, and then, of course, Farragut now after spending a year downtown. It was kind of a year in the wilderness. came back in principal at Farragut now. But, walk for the Lord, it's one of those things where while my dad was a Baptist pastor, he was on the backside. You sit there, and he was somewhat abusive and those things. So My dad and I never had a relationship, but God put people in my life to be that dad to me.
Wow.
When my parents divorced when I was 14, right, I just turned 15, I really haven't had a relationship with my dad since I was 14 years old.
Okay.
And that's fine because it's one of those things where I've forgiven. Mm-hmm. There's no bitterness because, yeah. But God and I had to have those wrestling matches.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
There's a point there where it's Jacob and like Jacob was with God and in the said, I'm not going to let go until you bless me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I could tell you where I was when it happened that God and I had that wrestling match in a car.
Wow.
And I was like, God, I can't live like this. And yeah. I was 20 years old. I'm like, I can't live like this. This is not sustainable. And I can't let go until you fix this and you bless me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that wrestling match, I can tell you exactly where I was. I was in 29 Palms, California, when it happened.
Wow.
And from there, it's been one of those things that this is not my anything. People say, well, you've done a great job here, or this happened. Or, this is not me. And anytime my career becomes about me, watch out. There's a disaster ready to happen.
Wow.
You know, God has a way of saying, wait a minute, this was about me. And so he brings you back down to earth pretty quickly.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So my career is not about me. What you do in school, leadership, it's not about me. It's my passion, my belief is the fact that my why is to bring glory to God by impacting the next generation.
Man, that's strong.
And that's my big why.
Yeah.
And he deserves all the glory.
Amen. You know, I'm convinced that every leader God really uses has a moment or time of brokenness that just teaches you such dependence upon the Lord. And that's so inspiring just to hear that journey with your family's divorce and the relationship with your dad that led you to that place of surrender and brokenness that we can't do it on our own. You know, God's got to do it.
And I think whenever it becomes about me, then I'm a limiting factor.
Hmm.
Right? That if it's about me and it's not about God, it becomes, well, John, you can try it on your own, but you're going to own it.
Right.
Right. Yeah. And I become the limiting factor. When it becomes about God, there's no limiting factor with him. So I just have to sit back and say, okay, this is not about me. And again, it's one of those things in my position and just like in your position, there's a lot of people who say, hey, you've done a great job at your church. Really enjoy that sermon. Or, you know, me, it's hey, you've done a great job at school. Really enjoyed your, whatever it is. Right. Yeah. And there's a chance that you sit there and say, if you start listening to that and you start believing, you're like, yeah, look what I did. But, you know, God has a way of saying, no, wait a minute.
Exactly.
This wasn't about you, big boy.
Yeah.
You know, and pride is that original sin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so we have to make sure that that stays in check, and this is a God thing.
Yeah, that's great, John. You know, in what you do, I mean, in education right now, it's a challenging time to be a leader. And I you are a leader. God's wired you that way and used you that way. And so as we, you know, obviously you're kind of going, God, we want you to get glory from this. God, we don't want this to be about us. God, we want it to be about you. How are you able to lead in this type of crisis and in this moment that we're enduring here in 2020 and we don't know what's up?
Well, I think that's all crisis. Well, if we didn't have crisis, we didn't need leadership. Right? I mean, let's be honest about it. If things weren't going around us wrong, we'd just go through life without leadership. We always deal with crisis, and so there's a couple things there. And on yesterday, I had a conversation with our faculty and started the conversation off with the three statements of, I don't know the answers. I don't even know the questions. And I've never done this before.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And some people are like, well, why am I going to follow this guy? He doesn't know what's going on. Well, I think that from us, as far as in crisis, imagine crisis, we have a true north.
Mm-hmm.
In churches, that's a true north of, you know, you're reaching people. For every Christian, the true north is go and make disciples.
Right.
Right? That's our overall true north. It's glorify God and make disciples. And so that's what we do automatically, mm-hmm. and that's who we are.
Yeah.
But I also think that as an institution, our true north as a school is to impact the next generation, to shape the next generation. So we know where we're going.
Yeah.
And I've used the analogy, this is not a GPS year for us. We don't know a turn by turn. You know, if you get the GPS and pull it up, it's going to tell me to leave my house and take a left here and take a left here. And eventually I end up at my destination wherever I'm going. This year is a compass year. This year is, and you do land navigation, you sit there with the compass and you shoot an azimuth or a direction you're going, and you know that my target is 100 meters out.
Yeah.
And that's where I want to go, or 1,000 meters out, and that's where I want to go. But in between that are things I can't see.
Right.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. Maybe the map's not there. Maybe I don't know. There might be a river, a lake, or maybe a tree fall, whatever it is. And I've got to navigate around that and get back on track.
Yeah.
And that's this year, right? And I don't want to steal this from Andy Stanley, but Andy did a great job talking about in times of uncertainty, offer people clarity. And clarity meaning, here's what I need you to do now.
Yeah.
You know, he mentioned Joshua standing there after taking the helm from Moses and sitting there, and he says, I don't know what's happening. I don't know how to cross this river, right? Mm-hmm. And,
yeah.
You know, he said Moses 101, Leadership 101 was how to do the wilderness.
Yeah.
But Joshua had to say how to conquer the land.
It's right.
Two different types of leadership,
right.
Two different strategies. But Joshua said, in 3 days, we're crossing this river. Go get prepared.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? And there was a clarity in the midst of uncertainty, we don't know what's going to happen when we cross this river. We don't even know how we're going to cross the river in 3 days,
yeah.
Right? We just believe in God's going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But the clarity is, we have a job to do. Our job is to go get everybody ready to cross this river.
Yeah.
And it was a great moment of, okay, we know what we're doing right now. We don't know what we're going to do 3 days from now.
Right.
Yeah. And I think that's... if you watch Joshua's life the whole time, when he's conquering the land, it's always about clarity and in the midst of uncertainty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, Jericho.
Right.
Right?
Right.
God didn't say, hey, when, you know, this is how we're going to do it, and you walk around the thing, and when you crack the pots, and he didn't tell him how the city's going to be taken.
Yeah.
He said, Joshua, obey me.
Right.
Walk around it once every day, seven times the seventh day, crack some pots, blow some horns, and the city's yours.
Right.
And if you're Joshua, you're like...
It's not a complete strategy.
God, I know you know better than me, but that's not a good military strategy.
Right.
Right?
Right.
But God says, hey, look, you do what I tell you to do in the now, and let me take care of the results.
That's a good word. Yeah.
You know, and that's kind of been... in crisis, I think as a leader, we have to learn to do that.
Mm-hmm.
That we obey, we do what he tells us to do in the now.
Yeah.
And at the end of that, the results are his.
Yeah.
And in that, that's freeing.
Mm-hmm.
Because God didn't call us to produce results. He called us to be faithful.
Amen. Amen.
And so that's kind of a lot of how you lead in uncertainty is that right there. My job's not to produce a result. My job is to be faithful to the process God called me to.
Yeah.
And in that, the results are his, whether they're good or bad.
Yeah.
And sometimes those are bad results.
Right.
But he's doing bad results to get his glory and serve his purpose.
Amen. Yeah. You know, you said it already, and I was, as you were even saying it, I was thinking about my mom was in education for a really long time and recently retired a few years ago. She was middle school. Worked with special needs kids, and she'd say, Mark, every day is a crisis, you know, every day. And so you've been in this fray for many years, but particularly at Farragut High School, you've been in a substantial crisis, and we could call it a mental health crisis in a lot of ways. Talk to us about what you're seeing in teenagers today when it comes to this epidemic that we're understanding is a mental health epidemic, and just the challenges of not the academics, but just helping teenagers prepare for life.
Yeah. It's wow. That's because there's so much there. Mm-hmm. And I can go, so there's some biblical components there, and then there's some leadership components there, and it's just some life components there. It's all, okay, how do you do this?
Right.
I think I'm going to go to a philosophical standpoint first, because so you know where my couple philosophies are. Is one is if we tell kids, if you tell a human being that they're since they've been in school, that they're just a different form of animal life. Okay. Yeah. If you keep telling them, hey, you're just an evolved animal.
Yeah.
There's nothing really special about human beings more than a squirrel or a dog or, right. or a monkey or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And then they sit in the car and mom and dad, when they're 4 or 5 years old, accidentally run over a squirrel. And mom doesn't, there's really no thinking twice about mm-hmm. the squirrel.
Yeah.
What we've just told people is that's the value of human life too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. And so we've just devalued human life.
Right.
If we make, there's no distinction between life of an animal and life of a human being in that aspect, that we've really cheapened who we are mm-hmm. in the image of Christ.
Yeah.
Okay. In the image of God. So I think when you start looking at that philosophical standpoint, we walk down that really scary road, and you still have believers, and I was there too, because Satan is the liar,
yeah.
right? And he's the one that speaks life and lies to you and says, look, the world would be better off without you, or you know, there's nobody going to miss you, or you know, your parents are, this whole thing would be over, the pain would be over. And there's some mental health issues there. There's some real mental health issues there, and I don't want to degrade those, but there are some significant lies being spoken into kids' lives. Mm. So when you start with that basis, and then you also start with the basis of, let's make sure we know what kids' unconditional love is.
Yeah.
That, you know, when I tell kids I love them or I care about them, it has nothing to do with their performance.
Hmm.
It has to do with their status yeah. as human beings.
Yeah, that's good.
It has nothing to do with what they can do for me or how proud they make me. My kids, growing up, my two kids, well, they know, and it's always been one of those things that they've said, I don't want to disappoint Dad. They didn't obey me because they were going to get a paddling.
Yeah.
That might happen.
Right.
Or they get in trouble, that might happen. But it was, I really don't want to sit and look and disappoint you. But I kept, from the day one, I'm like, no matter what happens, I will always love you with all my heart. Mm-hmm. And I will never be more proud of you or love you less.
Yeah.
Just depends, just understand that.
Yeah.
I love you because of who you are, not what you've done.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that there's aspects, so those kind of things are making sure our kids understand that, even from a public education standpoint, that I value them, I care about them, I love them
yeah.
as an educator and as a dad to a lot of the kids. No matter, they can mess up,
yeah.
right? I will love them the same. Mm. I may have to chasten them. But I'll love them the same. So when you get into that, so that's kind of the philosophical basis. And then you get into a thing that where kids are, especially here, but other places, and you find out where kids are under so much pressure, one, to perform
mm-hmm.
Or to be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And so you get into, it's kind of a term of death by perfection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where kids, and so there's a downward spiral that happens where they have to be perfect, or they think they have to be perfect, so they stop taking care of themselves. We've really approached this year with a brain health idea, not a mental health idea.
Okay.
And the reason is, we kind of reduced it down to this aspect, or kind of narrowed it down to this aspect, is the idea that when somebody commits suicide, or is contemplating suicide, but they actually try to act of suicide, that's the most irrational act. Mm-hmm. Somebody in their right mind would say that is the most irrational act in the world.
Right.
But when they're actually doing it to that person at that time, that's the most rational thing they could do.
Yeah.
That makes sense to them at that time.
Yeah.
Their brain just lied to them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Their brain has told them something that's not true.
Right.
So how do we as adults, and how do we as educators, help make sure their kids' brains are healthy so that it doesn't lie to them.
That's good.
Right? So we're trying to build what I call grit capacity or resiliency capacity in their life
mm-hmm.
where when bad things happen, because bad things are going to happen,
yep.
that there's a margin in their life that says, yeah, this bad thing happened, but here's how I respond to it. Okay. In a positive way. Mm-hmm. Or here's how I respond to it in a way that's life breathing, mm-hmm. instead of talking to myself in a negative term.
Yep.
So we're trying to that. How do we rewire our kids' brains or make sure their brains are wired healthy? We found out that sleep deprivation is one of the I don't know if contributors, but one of the common themes amongst teenagers commit suicide.
Really?
Is they're not really sleeping.
Mm.
And so if they don't sleep for a long period of time or this really happens, I think when you talk about mental health, it's they have sleep issues too. Mm-hmm. What happens is that brain is just like a computer that's on all the time,
mm-hmm.
that starts sending bad code and bad messages.
Yeah.
And sometimes it just needs to be turned off.
Right.
And rebooted. And then all of a sudden it starts working again because it's just continually building on itself. And your brain has to be able, we know what sleep does to your brain. It helps you rewire your brain. It helps your brain recover. It helps flush your brain. I mean, mm-hmm. there's flushing that has to happen. So sleep is one of the main aspects. Also, there's a, you know, scientifically, there's a thing there with boredom. Our mm. kids need to be bored sometimes. Because boredom actually helps your brain focus and process bad information. Helps you commit things to memory.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have that boredom in your brain sometimes, your brain is always going. So our kids don't get bored.
Because yeah.
when they get bored, they pick up a phone.
Right.
I mean, I don't get bored, right? The yeah. same thing. You know, right. you know, we do this and as adults. I mean, the last study I saw was adult checks their phone every 3 minutes.
Wow.
So there's an aspect of yeah, why did I enjoy the beach so much? Even though I had my computer and my phone at the beach,
yeah,
is because I was able to turn it off for an hour and set it aside.
Yeah.
Yeah. And my brain was just able to sit and just listen to the ocean waves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's a lot of aspects there that we're walking through, but it's really just trying to make sure kids know that we care about them. And then every message we send to them, I'm a firm believer everything speaks.
Mm.
So when you pull on our campus, it says something about our campus. When you walk in our building, the walls say something about what we believe, what we think about kids, and a message we send to them. How we interact with kids says something to everything speaks.
Yeah.
And so we pay a lot of attention to details and a lot of attention to culture.
Yeah, that's great. Well, I can tell you you're making a difference. And we see it here at the church with the students that are there with you 5 days a week. And we see it even in the staff, your staff that's in our church, are able to see just the intentionality and the effort, just the life that God's allowing you to bring in the school. So, man, thanks for joining us today. Thanks for letting us hear a little of your story and talking a little leadership. And yeah. And this has been an encouraging time.
So, and I'd be remiss if I didn't get a chance to just, your church, the First Baptist Concord community, has been a true partner.
Awesome.
Okay. And they've come in, loved on us. I know the prayers that daily happen yeah. from here and praying a hedge around the Farragut schools and Farragut yeah. community. But just even that, I mean, I walked out yesterday and one of your members of your disaster relief team was in there and they were put together some picnic tables for us, but he was there. I said, hey, how you doing? He goes, good. He goes, these picnic tables that came, a couple of these were a little rough, so I'm sending them down for the kids.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's just a servant's heart.
That's right.
Right? That says, hey, and I didn't even have a chance to see the picnic tables and and know there's a problem, right?
Right
and
right.
he had saw it and said, I need to go do that.
Yeah.
And so it's just been a blessing.
That's after awesome.
Blessing.
Well, thanks for sharing that. You know, the heart of our church really is to serve in the community. And it's one of the things I love about her. And mm-hmm. God's using the body of Christ to be on mission, even in times we can't physically gather like right. we want to. But the mission still continues.
Right.
So thankful for those brothers and sisters.
Yeah, that's cool. We love them and appreciate them.
Thank you. Hey, I'd love to pray for you and in mm-hmm. turn pray for really all of our teachers as school begins soon, Lord willing, and just would love to ask God to protect and God, use this school year for His glory. So can we do that?
Yes, absolutely.
All right, let's pray. God, we love You today, and I thank You for this conversation with Dr. Bartlett. God, it's so encouraging to hear, God, Your missionary sent in the public school system right here at Farragut High School. God, thank You for, God, His passion, His love, His skill, His ability to lead so well in our schools. And God, we just want to ask You today that this coming school year, Lord, it's all over the news. Everybody's got strong opinions about what needs to be done where. God, I pray for peace. God, I pray for a clear direction of that true north we spoke about earlier. God, I do pray that You would protect the faculty and staff and the students and everybody on that campus, that You'd protect them. God, that You would make this school year a year that we can look back on and say, man, God, You were moving. You were active. You were doing great things. And so, God, I just pray for Dr. Bartlett today. Pray for his faculty and staff. I pray for every teacher all throughout our area. God, all throughout area code 865. Lord, every administrator, God, every faculty member, God, every student. God, as our schools reopen and we begin a new school year, Lord, we just pray that Your Spirit would go before them, that God, You would be their front and rear guard, and that You would lead the way as we, God, pursue You with all that we have. So, God, may this be a great school year for Dr. Bartlett, his team, and all of the teams that are in our area. And pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Have a great day.
Thank you for joining us for the Stretch Leadership Podcast with Dr. John Mark Harrison. Tune in here each Thursday for new and inspiring content, and every Sunday on our YouTube page at FB Concord for worship at 9 and 11 Eastern Time. In the meantime, you can subscribe to this podcast, rate and review it, and share it with your friends on social media. Once again, thanks for listening.